Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and it is time for our Worldview Watch with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you, Andy. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well. It's Monday morning and off to a good start. So things are going well. You, sir?
Doing fine, thank you. I'm just, we're going to do our little thing here on His Time and then jump in the car and head over and chat with you a little bit more around 10 o'clock with some other issues.
So. I know. It's a good day. I get to talk with you twice today.
Well, it works both ways. It's going to be fun to see you again and check in. I guess everybody's doing well with your family. You said you had some good walks at Babbler, had a couple good rides. And so, you know, God is good and the sun's shining. So, so there's nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes 1:9 says. You know? So,
indeed. It was good to get out and get some fresh air this weekend. So important.
Yeah, and the temperatures are going to be pretty decent the next couple of days, but in the 60s for the rest of the week. So compared to what they're having up there in the northeastern area with all that snow, we've been dodging lots of bullets with the snow this year. It was kind of like, 3 years ago we had maybe a quarter inch of snow, and this is sort of mimicking that, but be that as it may, it's all good. And a couple things, I was got back last week and talked to Jonathan actually from a hotel room early on a Monday morning. Was down in Palestine, Texas, and I think he mentioned that, and then had a good time down there talking about aging and end of life issues and all the folks. Got to do a lot of talking. They told me they've had other people down there, and I don't know if they were professors or not, but they said they wanted to do more talking. So we laid a lot of case studies in front of them to do more talking, and boy, I tell you, they were engaging people and challenged me. So, but it's always good to be challenged to search the Word of God. So, what I have this morning, and some of this, of course. Sometimes I always struggle with what your listeners are going to want to hear, but these are things that are ongoing in this particular topic amongst the other ones. I'm going to mention a couple of ones that are quite similar. And this, of course, now with just to kind of bring people up with China, since we've had some issues with China, North Korea, and South Korea and so forth, and the Japanese prime minister being over here. Right now, of course, with the two children now permitted, this is really interesting. Nobody really knew that they were freezing embryonic human beings over there with the hopes that sometime down the road, many of these women could have some of these embryos implanted back into their wombs. Well, that's exactly what's happening over in China. They're thawing embryos over there right now, and regardless of the age, in fact, the earliest, apparently the embryo that's been frozen longest was frozen 16 years, and so that child now is out and doing well. But I just thought that's just a piece of news that's going on, and it brings up the whole issue of should we be freezing from a Christian viewpoint embryonic human beings. It's something to talk about. And of course, we have this new revival on the abortion issue, which we'll spend some time. I have some interesting information at 10 o'clock on that. That's going to be front and center coming up. Certainly, it began last year, and it will be big time this year, especially with the creation of artificial wombs that are going to be involved with this. And we'll elective abortion basically be also for those people who have artificial wombs that decide we don't want that child. So that may sound a bit weird and a bit too science fiction for your listeners, but that's exactly what's going on there. The other one is women now, it's being published in certain medical journals around the world and here in the United States regarding women are becoming more and more depressed. That is, that have, let's say, three boys and would prefer a girl, and because they would like to have more, quote-unquote, it's not sex selection anymore. They've changed the term. Like I mentioned with Jonathan last week, you can't call a mother anymore. You have to call them a person who's pregnant. And so now it's not sex selection. It's gender disappointment. so that for the National Health and Medical Research Council, they're starting to look into this. And so many of these women, they say, don't take that choice away from somebody else. That is, if I want to pay the $50,000 plus to have my quote-unquote gender decided, don't take that choice away. So now we get into, from a standpoint of Bible, talking confessions, the whole issue, what is choice in our picking and choosing world? So that's another issue that's going on out there that people can get into. I would encourage them to get into the Bible and study the word choice. Go back to their concordance in the back of the Bible and check that out. And then take a look at Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20, which was the Old Testament reading this past Sunday. And then also Joshua 24. The last one that I think we could spend some time on, and I don't think we have ever talked about this, and that is now through the Journal of Medical Ethics, they are suggesting, now this is really, really bizarre, Andy, that people who want to do self-harm to them, that is, cut themselves, the cutters as they call them, they believe that they should be given, now here we go, just listeners, listen to this, and how does this deal with the stewardship of the body, parenting, and so many other issues? They want to give them now sterile razors so that in doing so, they are not going to risk infection in their skin and in their blood that could kill them. And this would help prevent those people who are going through this to reduce the tension, and they give them better control and coping mechanisms so that perhaps maybe this will stop the suicide rate and maybe even get to the point where self-injury, and I'm not sure how this is related, but by permitting lesser harm to prevent a more serious one, that is. So let's start giving out sterile razors. And I mean, this is an issue that I'm not sure biblically, other than in terms of our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, what causes people to do this. I'm not an expert in this area, and I'm not obviously a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but the increased risk that individuals have for self-injury is obviously in more dangerous ways is sometimes to attempt suicide. And this, of course, I would suggest if pastors and lay people are aware that even within the family that they're doing this, they really need to be seeking some help on this type of issue, as opposed to saying, well, why don't we just start giving them sterile razors? And I don't mean to be sort of sarcastic with this one, but it even seems to be one of those issues. Well, if let's just give contraceptives to our teenagers, and that way that'll prevent pregnancy and abortion, which, of course, is a false logic. So those are some of the issues that that are happening right now out there in the world. And there's other things that are going on with they're pushing more of this three-parent child business. And I do think that, and we'll maybe spend some time on this later today, New York is really pushing euthanasia, assisted suicide, and it looks like it probably will pass there within a year, maybe this year. So those are the issues that are out there for your listeners to kind of maybe sit back, have another cup of coffee, shake their head, and say, what's going on in this world? But it also draws us back into the scriptures and the basics of catechesis and what does it mean to be human.
What was there, going back to the issue of cutting and the idea of providing clean razors for those who suffer from this this disorder that leads to cutting? What was it, a specific organization or group that was promoting that? Well, sterile razors for those who are cutting?
No, this comes out of the Journal of Medical Ethics, a paper that at the University of Manchester over in England, and with a couple authors here from the States, that this approach may be more respectful of the patients. Now, here you go, autonomy. Autonomy simply means a law unto self. And so they're suggesting that this type of, that the high rates of self-injury among people admitted to mental health units suggests that the standard method of dealing with this behavior, forcibly stopping them, doesn't work. So if you want to eliminate and provide sterile razors, you're going to be more respectful of a person's autonomy, and this provision of sterile cutting implements education that, quote-unquote, how to self-injure more safely to avoid blood poisoning and infection, as well as therapy and alternative coping strategies. It makes no sense to me that we're going to give you sterile razors so that you don't have blood poisoning and infection, and this is supposed to help people that want to harm themselves. And I think that cases where I've seen this as a pastor, this, I think, involves obviously the family, but that's the reason behind this, Andy. But there are obviously many people against this in terms of some of the practical problems. Put bluntly, witnessing or even just hearing about self-injury increases the chance that people will try it themselves. And that this one person wrote that the impact on other patients of a facilitated self-injury in certain hospitals, they're saying, oh, well, as long as it's sterile, then maybe I can do more of it. So there's a false logic here, and they seem to be wanting to think this has been a way to do it. This, of course, is related to the whole issue of drug. So let's provide needles, safe needles and sterile needles, to drug addicts. And so now we're entering an area where instead of saying we need to get you some help with professionals and get you into the, now I'm going to say this, of course, is to get you into a community that will support you and help you with this to prevent this, because this constant cutting does bring eventually harm and to the point of suicide. Then we're going to have to deal with this, but there has to be a plan involved, I think, from the community, and to get churches to discuss this as much as we want to discuss the whole issue of transgender. And I've talked to a couple of pastors about it, and they said, well, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, then we need to go out and talk to some psychiatrists and psychologists, and perhaps even bring them into churches and to talk about some of these issues that are becoming more and more pronounced. It's not scary. It's just simply part of the body's stewardship, and we have to take care of it. And what do we do in situations like this to help families deal with these issues? Because this is not an issue that churches are unfamiliar with. I can guarantee you pastors know about this thing. So do DCEs and other called workers in the church and their families.
So there are many things that we deal with, that we learn to cope with as we live in this broken and fallen world, that we have to learn to respond to with God's word, the gifts that He gives in His word, His gifts of word and sacrament, His Holy Spirit that comes through those means.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, this whole facilitated self-harm business. What I've read about it and doing some studying because of seeing this, it really does with this whole new, let's give them some sterile razors, it just constantly reinforces their low self-esteem. And this is usually the penultimate problem of people who cut a lot, is their low self-esteem. So what brought that about, the low self-esteem? I really do believe that the love of God in Christ, and I suspect some of your listeners may say, oh, that's not going to help them. Well, God's word does not return them empty. And if you know people who are involved in this, it's time to go to them instead of saying, well, if you need any help, let me know. They're not going to let you know. And I think that's a phrase that we hear so frequently from people. Well, let me know if I can help you. I think we have to go back to Galatians 6:2 and say, I want to be your burden, and try and reach out to those issues where we find out that they are. Even if it's somebody you don't know, to say, you know, I've heard this. I don't know if it's true, but if there's anything I can do, of course, here's my telephone number. Especially people who've gone through this in the church, I think pastors need to know who they are, find out people that have struggled through this, because they're the experts and they can help other people who struggle through this type of problem of low self-esteem. And that's really what the issue is.
Dr. Weiss, always good to talk with you, and so much more to dig into today on Faith and Family. We're going to take a look at some of the life issues from 2016 that that we've addressed over the past year and where we are on those and what lies ahead in 2017, if we can look that far ahead.
We're going to do it.
Thanks so much, Dr. Weiss. See you in a little while.
Okay. God's peace to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer right here on His Time.